the forces of the Gentile shall come unto thee. I want to use my time tonight to teach from the subject of, but watch the church. But watch the church. You may be seated tonight. But watch the church. But watch the church. Isaiah chapter number 60, beginning at verse number 1 through 5. But watch the church. Quite often when we think of the church and when we hear of the church, most often it is something negative. It's always about what's going on in the church that is wrong, what people in the church is doing, priests that is molesting children, pastors that is taking advantage of congregations, people that are having all sorts of affairs in the church. Every time we hear about the church, it's always something that is bad, something that is wrong in the church. But the truth of the matter is, God's church cannot fail. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Yes, Lord.
Now, that doesn't mean that the church is not going to go through something.
Yes, Lord.
But the fact that the church goes through something is indication that the devil and Satan is not happy with what's going on in the church.
Yes.
So the fact that the church goes through ups and downs is no big deal. The problem is when the church begins to conform and act like the world. So the Bible tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Yes.
But instead of us being transformed, every time the world begins to complain about something, we too in the church complain about it. As though it's our problem or issue as well. A perfect example is, just because unemployment is high in the world, that has absolutely nothing to do with you in the church. Just because they're furloughing everybody else, that has nothing to do with you in the church. Now, by church, I'm not referring to the building, because you can sit next to somebody who's holy, but that doesn't mean that you're holy. You can sit next to somebody saved, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. You can walk through the garage, but that doesn't make you a car. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order for Him to exempt you from some things. Now, what if you pray and God doesn't exempt you, and you're the first one in the unemployment line? That's okay. Then that means that He has another plan to supply your needs. See, you don't need what you think you need. You don't need a job to make it in this world. If God is calling you from the world into something else, He'll supply all of your needs. And see, sometimes what God is doing is taking us from one level of glory to the next level, and in between time, we act like a fool. Oh, they fired me over there. No, I did this. And God is saying, just be quiet. I'm getting ready to elevate you. See, we have to learn that when God is at work, really sit down and trust Him. When God is up to something, you remember when you were a child? I don't know why, but every time the lightning started flashing and the thunder and everything, your parents used to always tell you, sit down because God was at work. Never understood that. But you know, the storms of life is the same way, that whenever you find yourself in a storm, just sit down because God is at work. God is always trying to manifest and reveal Himself, but He needs to sometimes take us through something in order for people to see God in us. Now, the prophet Isaiah, this story that we deal with tonight, or this chapter that we deal with, it's going to be like a 4 or 5 part series. But tonight we're talking about, but watch the church. Because in essence, what I want to show you tonight is that what's going on in the world has nothing to do with the church. Better yet, What's going on in the church is supposed to draw the world to the lighthouse, which is God's house. And so even though it's a dark world out there, and even though it's mass confusion out there, in this end time, the church needs to become. Because we're operating on different principles than what the world is operating. You see, the world has a tendency of looking out and saying, I see this, and I'm forecasting this, and I'm looking down the road, but they're using the wrong standards to look down the road. If you want to know what's going to happen in your tomorrow, open up your Bible today. See, because the Bible says now, not one word will return void. So in other words, if God released the thing, if Jesus said it or if it's printed, as it goes forward, it has to come back and it has to be fulfilled before Jesus can come. If God is saying something to you, if God is saying something to you, and it's not fulfilled, it's not that God changed his mind. He's the same God. It's just not your time. But see, you have to wait on God. But we have to learn how to wait on God with character, with integrity. We have to learn to wait on God and act like we're Christian. Because sometimes that's a hard thing to do, is to stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Because sometimes, I don't know if you really know this, but sometimes it seems like it takes God a long time for you. But now for your neighbor out in the world, it seems like the blessings come right there. Have you ever been tempted? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever been tempted to slide back to something you used to do in order to expedite getting out of the storm? Me too. Have you ever thought about something you were going through and you say, I know how to fix this because when I was in the world, I can do this and do this and it would happen real fast, but something got a hold of you now and you can't even do that anymore. See, when God comes into your life, God is stepping into your life to take over, take control of your life. But sometimes God will allow you to go through some stuff and you'll fall flat on your face for a second. And so the prophet Isaiah opens up chapter number 60. And the first thing that he says is arise. So the assumption is you down. Sometimes in the church, when you are down and out, you need to understand that you're in the perfect place that God wants you to be.
All right, now.
But now if I compare myself against someone else, their place of being lifted, I'll get messed up. So the Bible says that you're not covered. So I don't have any business looking over in your house to see what you're doing. Because what you're doing is your business. And half of the time, what you think you see in somebody else's house really isn't real. Yeah, I just bought some clothing. I just bought a new TV. What you don't know is I used a credit card. So everything that you see is not a blessing. So the prophet Isaiah says, arise. And when you get up, he says, shine, for the light is come. Now, the light that he refers to is the blessings of God, is the knowledge, the wisdom of God. Now, today we say something, and you probably hear it in the business community, where they say knowledge is the new riches. In other words, long time ago, you had to have money in order to be powerful. In essence, today, you don't have to have money to be in a position of power or authority. You have to have knowledge. But what good is knowledge without the application of it? See, wisdom is how to apply what you know. If you don't know how to apply what you know, you become an educated fool. If you want wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God. See, and that's why we get in trouble, because we begin to say, Lord, if I had a college degree, then this would open up for me. Or if I had this certificate or this certification, then this would open for me. What you don't understand is that the grace of God steps by all of that stuff you don't have and still open it up for you. See, the grace or the favor of God can do what no man could ever do for you. So in life, sometimes you'll get knocked down, but the prophet Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for the light is come." In other words, you've been in the dark, you've been going through a storm, but now it's your time. Remember I said, but watch the church. So now is your time. And you said, well, how is it my time when furlough, when the government can't get on one accord, when everything is going bad? How can it be my time in the church? Listen to this. Whenever God gets ready to transfer wealth out of Egypt, out of the hands of a wicked, into his church, he always does it in a crisis moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Open your Bible, look through your Bible. Every time the children of God receive something. You remember Pharaoh was coming? And Pharaoh had to give all his wealth up. And all the wealth made it to the other side. And he says, you'll see your enemies no more. See, we look at a time like this and we think that we're through. And God is saying, but I'm positioning you so that the world can watch you while they're going astray. So there they are in the world. And the prophet says, the light is come. Not only has the light come, but he says, and the glory of the Lord is resting. It's just resting on you. It's just there. It's rising on you. In other words, it was there. And so now is your time. And so what's inside of you is going to be released, because as it rises up, you get brighter and brighter. He begins to enlarge your territory. Where there was only room for this check to make it to this day, now he's enlarging that territory. And so now you can go through the whole month without borrowing anything, and you have some extra left over, because God was positioning you while you were complaining, but he loves you anyway. See, sometimes God has to jump over us in order to bless us, because we can be crazy. We sometimes can get in our own way. We don't need Satan to stop us. We don't need our haters and our enemies to stop us. Our fear stops us. We're so afraid. And he says, listen, don't, you don't need any fear, because your fear cancels out your faith. Now you've been asking for something in faith. Now I deliver it. Don't let fear comes and rob you of it. He says, get up and rise, because the light is upon you and you are about to do great things.
Amen.
And the truth of the matter is, when I'm saying you are about to do great things, you wasn't doing so bad anyway.
All right.
Because you have a place to stay.
Yes.
Your health is great.
Yes.
Your family is great.
Yes.
You may not have as much extra as the next person, but every time the bill comes, somehow he makes a way for you to meet that. So I was doing all right. And so now you tell me you're going to bless me even more. Amen. Listen to what he says. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Now, the darkness that he refers to is that the earth will have it's just a sinful place. Now, wherever sin is, the judgment of God has to show up. Okay? So he said the earth is dark. And God has to judge that. You remember that from Genesis in the beginning, where the darkness was upon the face of the earth? But watch the church. Now, so what he's saying is that I'm going to walk you back through history. I'm going to show you how I've delivered generation after generation after generation. Now tell me again what you're worried about. Because what you're facing, ain't nobody trying to strap you to a tree and hang you. What you're facing, they may not like you, but they're not going to kill you. What you're facing is that you may not be the most popular person, but at the same time, you still got a job. What you complaining about again? He says darkness is a upon the world. Then he says, gross darkness is on the people. In other words, not only are you living in a sinful world, but then there's a hatred and there's just a heart of man that is not right. So not only do you have to deal with a system of government, now you also have to deal with haters who's playing into that system of government.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone that really disliked you and they were in a power, in a position to really hurt you? Now, it's a bad thing to have an enemy behind you. It's something else when you know the power of your enemy.
Yes. Yes.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's one thing if Miss Alice is coming behind me, but I can run faster than her. Then Sam is behind me, but I can't outrun him. And I already know his reputation. And he has a reputation like Paul of just not even liking church folk. So now you got the enemy behind you, and he says, gross darkness. They come in behind you and they hate you. You ever had some people in your life that just hate you? It just seems like every morning they woke up to make your life miserable. It just seems like every time you went to work and you had just an idea for the little group that you were working in, they just shot you down before you even presented anything. You ever had folks that just hate you from the beginning? Gross darkness. It's when people hate you just because you're a child of God.
All right, now.
So if they hate you and their heart is messed up, and he says that gross darkness is on the people, he says, but. You see that?
But.
Forget all that. I know what I just told you. So in essence, I was just talking just to bring you up to speed. But forget about all of what I just said, because it don't mean nothing to you. Everything that you've gone through and people keep playing that thing, you remember you did this and I can recall this, he says that don't mean nothing to you. But cancel out all that junk, because here we are, we have a new start, a new beginning. He says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. In other words, he said, not the Lord, the man Jesus. He's saying the Spirit of God is going to come up on you. That's why you can say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when you begin to go through something and you acknowledge your weakness, then what you say to the Holy Spirit is arise. Because I can't do it. So when the Holy Spirit stands up in you, that's the grace and the favor and the mercy of God saying, boy, I know you can't do it. Girl, I know you can't do it. But it's just right for me. Remember, God says in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. So even in your weakness, God is still maturing you. He's still growing you up, even when you feel weak. Because it's not about your strength. Remember, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So as long as I have a relationship with God, as long as I know that God hasn't left me, in the midst of a bad season, bad storm, my joy is resting on him. So I still got strength every time I think about him.
Amen.
When I think about the goodness of God, I'm not talking about what you're trying to do. I'm just talking about what I'm thinking about.
Amen.
I haven't done anything. I'm just thinking about God.
Amen.
See, because your mind is the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So if Satan can control your thinking, he has you. So you can be in a situation physically or in the natural, but supernatural, I'm disconnected from that. Because that ain't me. I didn't do that. That's the natural person. But I've been born again. So you're dealing with the wrong one. Because the one that is in the natural, he's all jacked up, messed up. That's why you always say that you're bipolar. Because you're also supernatural. And you got to know how to walk through this thing. Because the supernatural man has no limitations whatsoever. Because the Spirit of God is upon them. And his glory shall be what?
Upon them.
It shall be seen upon them. In other words, a manifestation. So what you've been asking God for, God in essence is saying to you, why would I do it without showing off behind you? So he allows your enemy to see your blessing.
Yes.
So he takes you and he prepares a table
before
your enemies.
Yeah.
And so he sits you down and they begin to talk about what they tried to do, tried to stop you, but he has prepared a table before you in their presence. In essence, they're sitting across from you looking at how wonderful God is treating you, and they can do nothing about it.
Mm.
Just like it's an awful thing to be chased by an enemy when you know his reputation, it's an awful thing to find yourself running and your haters behind you think that they're going to overcome you, but here comes goodness and mercy, which is commanded to follow you all the days of your life. That's why God says, I got your front, I got your back, I got your left, your right. He says, I'll just put a hedge of protection all around you. So there's a manifestation. Listen to what it says. And the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles refers to the Greek, or it refers to unsaved people. Okay? The worldly folks. So he says, and the Gentiles shall come to what?
Thy life.
To your life. People can hate you, but still admire and respect what you're about. See, you wonder why they talk about you in the cubicle next to you on payday, but in the middle of the following week, when they begin to go through something, they don't go back to the people that they lied on you about. They then find your cubicle because they know that there are God that is inside of you. And in spite of how you may feel about them, you still let that go, forgive them, and you find yourself, oh crazy self, holding hands with your enemies and praying for your enemies. Because that's you. They know that about you. Your enemies will always study you. Before you go to battle with someone, always have a profile, always study them. And so in the time of need, you got to know who you're fighting in order to defeat them. See, but defeat to you and I in the church doesn't look like defeat out there. Defeat out there may be when a person just annihilates you, but defeat for you and I is when you can forgive those that despitefully misuse you. Because then you are the bigger person. Then you have victory. Then you understand the power that is inside of you. And the Gentiles shall come to the light. Listen to this. And kings to the brightness of what?
Thy rising.
See, they see something in you as well. See, sometimes people can look at you and see the potential that is in you before you acknowledge. You know it's there, but you're scared. I need to talk to some Christian folks in here. You need to stop downplaying your anointing.
All right now.
You keep trying to fit in. Like, if I show them that I really could do this, then they won't like you. They don't like you anyway.
Anyway.
You ever met some people that's just talented and you gotta beg them in order to show it, and they just got the gift but they won't use it? If God gave it to you, listen, using it, it's not about an ego, it's not about bragging, but if he gave it to you, use it, because the kingdom of God needs it.
Amen.
I just won't do that because if they found out that I could do this and I was gifted in that, then they just wouldn't like me and they wouldn't understand. And you know, I'm just trying to fit in. No, baby, please. Please. So he says, the kings, they're going to come to the brightness of your rising. In other words, what he's saying is that when the world is dark, and those that are in the position of leadership in the world, because they try to do it, watch this, in the world, and it's not working according to the textbook, according to the economy books, according to the way it's supposed to work, he says the world folks is going to come to the church and ask y'all, well, why aren't y'all suffering financially?
All right, man. All right. Hey.
Tell me what y'all do.
That's right.
Because we're trying to run this government called a city. And we catch in hell. But you sitting over here building stuff. Tell me how you do it.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? See, what they see in you is the anointing that is upon you.
Yeah, my God.
Because those that are in the world, your boss that makes more than you, and still need to borrow from you, because you understand the power of seeding and harvest time. So now they got to come to you and ask you, how you do that?
All right, man.
You understand what I'm saying? Because the book that they're using, that book doesn't work. Ever so many years, you got to rewrite that book. But the number one, the best-selling book of all time is still good. It's still good. It never loses its power. It's never outdated. It's never too old. It never needs somebody else to co-write with. What he says then, he says, lift up the eyes round and about, right? Lift up your eyes round and about. He's talking to you, and he wants you to lift up your eyes round and about and see. Now that sounds kind of funny to me, because if I'm doing it, why do I need to look up and see it? See, because sometimes you find yourself doing things and you don't even see what you're doing. Have you ever been stuck somewhere in a bad situation and somehow you begin to talk to the Lord and He gave you the strength and the power to come out of it, and you don't know how you came out of it? You don't know when you delivered. All you know is one day I got out of it. You don't know when you stopped crying, but one day I noticed I wasn't crying about you no more. One day I noticed I really did get over you. One day I noticed that the fear was gone. One day I noticed I am gonna be okay. One day I said to myself, I'm okay today. I don't know when it started, how I was delivered, but somehow God walked you out of that thing. You ought to give Him a praise for delivering you. Hey, He's a delivering God. He'll walk you right out of something, and you won't even know it when you got out of it. He says, so lift up your eyes and see. In other words, I want to show you just how far you came.
All right.
Because sometimes we're always complaining and we forget just how far God has already brought us.
Yeah.
Well, God, I need you to do this. And He said, if you just lift up your eyes, you'll discover we really came a long way. Because when I first started with you, you were crying over here. When I first started with you, you were scared to stand in front of folks. When I first started with you, it was just come out. When I first started with you, you wanted to give up even before you got started. But look at you now, just as bold as you want to be. Look at you now. Don't mind giving Him some praise. Look at you now. But still, you're looking everywhere, but you don't care what the human is. You've got to give Him some praise, because you owe Him some praise. Oh, there will be glory after this. When you deliver me this time, I'm going to give you a praise. He says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes so you can see just what I've done for you. Lift up that eyes all around you and you see. Listen to what he says. And all that gathering themselves together. Watch this. They come to thee. They come to you. Your anointing draws people. I mean, I like you, but people still find themselves hanging around you. It's not you. It's the anointing. It draws people. You know, when it's really dark and you turn on the light and everything by nature goes to the light, that's the anointing in a dark world. in this dark and gross darkness of the world. He says, you're anointed, you're the light. So you draw people to you. And they come to you because they know that they're not going to get from you what they get from the world. So your anointing began to draw them. Now watch this. And he says, now when they come, because the anointing, the sons shall come from afar. The sons shall come from afar. When Satan wants to defeat mankind, all he has to do is do a game called trading places. Put the head as the tail. Make the tail think that she is, the head. So when you switch places, you out of order. The God that you served is a God of order. But I know what you're thinking. Well, if the man would stay in place and get in place, then we can all be in order. That may be true, but that doesn't cancel out the fact that he's still God's head.
All right, amen.
So he says, they're going to come back to the church. I like that. You can look around and majority of folks in the church is females. But he says, the sons, he says, they're coming back to me.
Amen.
I'm bringing my head back. Amen. If I can get my head in place, amen, the body will follow. If you as a woman have someone to look up to and look in front of you or look on the side of you, he says, then order begins to come. Now, he didn't leave the woman out. Listen to what he said next after he talks about the head. He says, and the daughters shall be nursed. Where?
That's
not in front of me.
That's right.
He says, now the daughters, the women, is going to be nursed at that side. In other words, he's saying that your husband that is in place has something that he can teach your tail if you quit listening to what your girlfriend got to say about the matter. Don't listen to her. He says that when your man, the son's come in place, he's going to stand by your side. Remember, you were taken from the womb of a man, from the side of a man, and that's where you belong, on his side to be his helpmate, and you can nurse from there. Nurse is a reference to giving milk, which is the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
You get it?
Amen.
You get it? You get it? At that side, that's your place. And then he says, then. Not until that happens. Then what?
Thou shalt see.
Thou shalt what?
See and flow together.
Then, when all of that happened, he says, then you shall see it. You shall see it. In other words, trust me, I'm not lying to you. When we get in alignment with God, he says, you'll see it. I told you this thing was, but watch the church. Don't watch what's going on in the world. Watch what God is doing with the church. You may not notice it, but God is realigning this church in this latter day. You may not notice it, but the church is coming back to the book of Acts church that God first implemented. It's slow, but she's coming around. The church will never, ever, ever fail. You can bank on the church. Don't watch the world. Don't watch the stock market. Don't watch the economy. But watch
the church.
The church. So he says, when the church come in alignment, he says, then, I love that word. Because the word really means grace. It's the flowing. You know, when you don't want to co-op with somebody in the Bible, it says, how can two walk together unless they agree? But when you're really in sync, those kids are here now, but you know what I'm talking about? When you're really in sync with somebody, like everything is just flowing, Arisha, just flowing together. Everything began to flow. And he says, when you're in the right relationship with God, everything runner begins to just flow. Everything just begins to move, just effortless. It seems like every stroke you take is an anointing. Stroke. It seems like everything is just moving, and everything is just falling in line, and every bill is just falling off, and every payment is just disappearing, and every little step you take, he says, you're just flowing together because you're on one accord. And so here's where he says, everything begins to flow together, and the heart shall fear. And the fear, he means that you will reverence God, because when God brings you through that thing, you say, nobody did that thing but God.
Amen.
So the fear is not, oh God, I'm scared of you. The fear is, Lord, I reverence you, I worship you, I praise you.
Right now.
And see, that's what he's saying to us, is that when we see God for who God is, we then begin to fear God, begins to reverence God, because we understand the power that God has. And he says, then when you fear, he says, and be enlarged. Enlarged. In other words, your faith increase, your territory increase, everything increase, because the what?
The abundance of God.
I came that you may have life and have life more what?
Abundance.
So he says the abundance, when you get in line, begins to flow. And it just doesn't begin to flow, but he says the abundance begins. He's talking about the ships. What he referenced is merchants. Today we use trucks, Jeff, to carry stuff. In the biblical days, they used ships. The waterways was very important. And he said, when you get in line, the ocean just open up, and everything, all the merchandise, is just coming your way. It's just coming your way. A new house is coming your way. And there it is, sailing down the street. And you look around, and here come a car sailing behind you. Look around, here come another job sailing right behind you. You look around, here comes some another blessing. Just sailing, and you can't even stop. Just sailing your way. Not a little bit. He told you it was going to be abundant. He told you he was going to pour it out. He told you it was going to come in an overflow. When you get on one accord. Almost done. He says the abundance of the sea shall be converted. You see that? In other words, the wealth of the sinner is laid up
for the just.
For the just. Mm-hmm. See, some sinner man somewhere got your stuff. Mm-hmm. But you got to get in alignment in order so he can transfer.
Amen.
In the latter day.
Amen.
You don't got to work for it. You just got to be in position to receive it. It's a transfer.
Hallelujah.
He says, I'm just going to put it in your hands. Because they made it. But I'm going to give you vineyards. I'm going to give you property that you didn't even live. That's what the Bible says. God says, I'm going to give you stuff, and it wasn't even your stuff. I'm just going to give you somebody else's stuff. Now, you say that ain't fair, and I say that's exactly the definition of favor. Favor is not fair. But why would God take that stuff and give it to me? Because it was yours all along.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He says,
thank you, Lord.
I'm going to convert it. Conversion is what happened when you came to Christ. You were converted. In other words, you were changed. So he's just changing ownership, changing title. The property is still where it is. The goods are still where they were. He's just changing the owner. But in order for him to do that, he got to let Egypt and the folks in Egypt understand that you weren't running the thing anyway. It was in my church all along. That's why he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, because all along it belonged to you. He was simply waiting for you to get in place.
Thank you, Lord.
Then he says, lastly, the forces, the forces, the strong antichrist, the strong system of government that you've been fighting all along. You know, the Bible says that God will make your enemies your footstool. And he says that he'll give you peace with your enemies. Your enemies will be at peace with you. Watch this. He says, now, he says, the forces. Those folks that used to be against you, the Gentiles. He says, now, they're going to come to you.
Amen.
Amen.
See, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's.
Hallelujah.
The very thing that you've been fighting, he says, one day you wake up and you'll discover that the enemy no longer exists. You mean I've been focusing and worried about how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to come out of that, and then last last night when I was asleep, he somehow took care of it, because he said weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And now he said, as he began in verse number 1, I rise and shine, because now is morning time. And here in the church, you've been worried about something, and he says, now you delivered from the very thing that you need to worry about. And the people who's out there in the world, they find themselves coming to the church. You can bet on one thing, and that is the church. Listen, let me show you something in closing. And thank you for your time tonight. Let me show you something in closing. Watch the alignment with the church. Watch how God is realigning the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing that Satan came after was God's kingdom. In other words, he wanted what God had. So he came after his kingdom. So in the book of Genesis, darkness was upon the earth. So the prophet says here tonight, I'm going to tell you about darkness. Then he says, listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that is that Word was Jesus. In essence, what he's saying is that the glory of God then came on the earth. When the glory of God came on the earth, the Bible declares that wise men, you know, those kings out in the world, didn't they come looking for Jesus? Wise men came looking for him, because they came to him wanting to see, well, who is this God? It must not be the same God that we just got through praising. So they were wise enough to understand that in the kingdom of God, there was some light that was being transferred and being born. Now, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what the light does is draw people out of darkness. And so he begins to shine this light. And then he gives us that light, that Shekinah glory, that anointing that is there in our life, so we do the same drawing. And then he says to them, he says, in essence, you have this responsibility to go out and to tell the world about what's going on in the church. And that's the great commission that he gave to you and I. And that is that we are to go to the highways and the byways and go ye therefore and tell it. And then once you begin to tell it, it reminds you of what happens in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10, verse number 44 is one thing in chapter number 2, when the saints receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
It's something else in chapter number 10, verse 44, when the Gentiles, the Greeks, receive the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You see, the world is waiting for the church to align.
That's right.
In essence, what he says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We're looking for them to solve the problem. The truth of the matter is, and the funny thing is, they're looking for us to get in position, because they know we got the answer. You got the answer. You don't have to go to them for the answer, because the answer to everything you need is in the basic instruction book before leaving this earth. It is in the Bible. Whatever you need is in the Word of God. If you open up your Word and get in alignment with that Word, then watch the Gentiles come to you saying, what shall we do? God is transferring. Don't watch the world, but watch the church. And the first thing that you'll see in the church is you'll see sons begin to come home. You got to stop putting your mouth on something. Oh, you know, the men are no good. And you know, half of them in jail, and the other half is down low, and the other half is over here. Be careful what you say. That's somebody's son, somebody's brother, somebody's friend.
That's right.
And it may be your child.
That's right.
Be careful what you put your lips on. Have you been blessed tonight? Have you really been blessed tonight?